Well, good afternoon.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Good, terrific. Thanks, guys. How are you?
All right, all present and accounted for.
Well, we had a couple of weeks to get caught up, so what's on your mind today?
You know what? We had kind of a real, you know, like a come to reality type of discussion as a team, and realized that we were falling behind and getting in a little bit over our heads here. So we've decided to kind of go back to the drawing board and start tackling these things a little harder as we go forward, but with maybe taking a little bit more time for some of the other things. Like, instead of 6 COIs, we've committed to 2 for right now. Instead of 2
sure.
niches, we've committed to 1. So that way we feel like we're not drowning every week, and we can, you know, get this thing going in the right direction and eventually get to where we need to be.
Well, that's perfect. These are guidelines for you guys. They're, you know, based on your time available and your interest. There's 7 different strategies for acquisition. You don't have to do them all. Some people are going to be great at being on boards, and other people have no interest. So we give you lots of choices, and some people are going to just love centers of influence, and they're going to want to have a whole suite of them. And other people think that, you know, their existing book is enough, and they're just going to work their existing book. So it's really up to you.
And I think that's the strength of the team. We all have different strengths and weaknesses and interests. So, you know, just because, you know, I might want to work, a certain niche doesn't mean that Michelle wouldn't be great at working, you know, 7 or 8 or 10 COIs. So.
Good. Yeah. But it's fine. That's fine. I had one team. They just went after a center of influence. They had for a while, but they set up a regular schedule with that person. And they said, you know, it's amazing. I've gotten 4 introductions from him since we set up the schedule. So you never know, right?
Right.
It's just up to you guys and what, you know, sometimes it goes like that, and other times it's like, no, we're still not getting introductions.
Yeah, the other thing that we need to really get a little bit more serious about is the 5-star, the responsibilities in each one of those directorships. So we're going to have that discussion after this call today.
Oh, good. Okay. Because that will become more important as we go. When we do the monthly calls, a great process is for each of you to report in on how you're doing based on your goals that you set in your particular area, and your achievement versus the goals, etc. So that's terrific. If you want to start doing that every week now, that'd be great. But that's kind of up to you how you want to run things. But the branding and the marketing using the 5-star model will definitely differentiate you in the marketplace, because others are not that organized, and they do not present themselves that professionally.
Right.
So it's very important for your centers of influence to meet you that way, for your clients to meet you that way, for you to present yourselves to the community that way. It looks very professional.
Right.
Okay. So that's good. Sort of an awakening. That's good. Just sort of.
Well, I just felt like each week we're falling a little bit further behind, and I know personally, with managing an office and trying to, turn this ship, it's just been a little bit overwhelming. We were just out last week, Rob and I, at our national managers meeting, and it's just been a little bit like I've been drowning for a while, and everywhere I turn, somebody's throwing me a bucket of water.
Yeah. Well, this is more important for you guys than anybody. You can see that. I mean, you got to be skinny and lean because you got multiple responsibilities. So getting skinny, you know, segmenting, getting skinny and focusing your time when you're there on what you have to do is critical. I mean, it was important for FAs. It was much more important for managers because you don't have any time. Okay. What else?
I'm out. Anybody else?
I got another enthusiastically endorsed CTA from a business owner. And I think it's helpful for me because I used to ask kind of randomly, oh, who's your accountant, who's your attorney? But now I do it in a focused way. And with a follow-up, can you enthusiastically endorse them? So after tax season is over, that, you know, that's somebody I would contact and connect with.
So you got one that was enthusiastically endorsed?
Yes.
Great. Great. Great.
Owner.
Right.
What was it, eh?
Yeah, that's the other thing we talked about, Rob, is we want to have one niche each only, just to start. So.
Sure. Okay. So why don't we go around and tell me what the niches are?
I think I talked about it last call when I had kind of a little bit of an awakening with some of my older and even widow clients who were gathering at the Panera every morning. I just think that's a pretty good niche to get into there, that particular group. They're always with each other, talking with each other. I just think that senior/widow group niche, I would call it, might be a gold mine there.
Nice.
And mine, Rob, is business owners in metal fabrication.
Okay. This is Rob.
Hey, I will tell you, excuse me one second, Rob. When we were in our meeting last week, they had an FA panel. And I'm telling you, the people who are working with business owners, they're collecting $25, $50, $70 million at a time when these businesses cash out.
Right.
Wow. That's where the big money is. Wow. Sorry, Rob.
No, that's right. Well, and you can build a mastermind group around that. CPA, attorney, business valuation person, etc. And kind of own that business, own that market. So when you're looking for your enthusiastically endorsed players, your centers of influence, think about building a mastermind group around your niche. In this case, you know, business fabricators, metal fabricators. That's narrow enough that, you know, small business owners is fine for a niche that you're going to have a mastermind group because they're pretty much, you know, all the same, privately owned.
Yeah, I have a couple already, and they're all making tremendous amounts of money right now. It's just a boom time for them right now.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's terrific. Good. Who else?
I would say I've been doing a little bit more work recently focusing on positions either just coming out of residency or in their residency. Getting ready to transition to making some real dollars.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Mine's really been state and city employees. I've been getting a lot of referrals in that way.
And
so
state troopers.
Employees. And so I've been asked to go speak in an event. the main line with a retired trooper there. So that's for me.
Michelle's husband is a state trooper.
Oh, wonderful.
So And then the estate planning stuff, like, you know, document review on the estate planning side, trust review, things like that. Jen?
I was going to say small business owners, but I don't have a specific industry like Rob.
Small business owners. Yeah.
Yeah, if you can narrow it down to metal fabricators, then you go and figure out, okay, where do metal fabricators go? Do they go to Las Vegas for a convention? Do, you know, where can I meet more metal fabricators? Just like these guys, let's assume that they're all doing well, all in their own unique markets. If I know their business backward and forward and these guys enthusiastically endorse me, then I got a chance to building a practice of metal fabricators all over the country. So now instead of having, you know, 20 maybe in your market, now you've got 20,000. So your market gets much bigger. Now you don't have to go a long way. You can just go to the next town.
Right.
Go to the state, you know, stay in the state, but go all over towns. And then, you know, when they're big ones, go out of town. And that's the leverage of knowing a niche better than anybody else, because they will refer you.
Good idea.
So when you're looking at a niche, I had a guy, and I'm not picking on you, Matt, I think it was Matt that said the physicians that were just getting out of school. I'm not picking on you. I had a guy who built his business with Northwestern Mutual Life based on that model. And when he came to work for me, I said, that's great, but I want you to go after the guy that's hiring them. Okay. I want you to go after the guy that's about to retire because he's the one with the money. You know, and in our business, you got to have money. You can't have potential. You know, we'll be dead by the time these guys, you know, are ready to retire. Anyway, so you want to go get their big brothers, the guys that can open up $1 million client or a $500,000 account, because you'll spend a lot of time with no results from those guys. And they'll love you for it, and you'll get them, you know, to invest whatever they have, but they don't have any money yet. So unless I'm reading it wrong, just be careful what you choose as your niche. Because
no,
one of the requirements, you know,
I understand where you're
coming from that thought.
One of the things, though, here in especially a town like Lancaster is those guys you mentioned are being heavily pursued already by advisors and, you know, already have strong relationships with advisors in the area. Not to say that our process can't pry that away, but I've found it more beneficial to catch these guys as they're in a transition period when we can offer them more resources. And for me, it's actually led to a lot of times more business with the family as well. So here locally, I've done business with physicians who their parents are physicians, their parents' parents are physicians. And because I've got the introduction with them, I've grown, you know, to the rest of the family as well. So I guess when
you
think goal to get to the big guys, it's just I've found it easier to start lower on the totem pole. And use that as an end to eventually get to some of these bigger positions.
Good. Okay, that perfect explanation. Thank you. I wasn't picking on you. I just wanted to make sure you didn't, you know, that you understood the process.
No problem.
Hey, you know what? I'm used to it around here. I mean, last week it was vacation for everyone, and just Jen and I had to man the fort, so.
We don't refer to that as vacation. That was a hostage situation.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Any other of the strategies that you're focusing on?
Well, one of us is. Actually, Michelle has done a very nice job with the LinkedIn. It's pretty much since she started
She's
been doing predominantly prospecting that way. So she's kind of our expert in that area.
Not an expert. It's just, it just works when you have patience with it.
So, Michelle, how do you use it?
I connect with people that have money in motion, have new positions, they're retired, or they have mutual connections that I have, or there was the state police, or whatever it is. So I'm looking for an event that would create an opportunity for us.
So changing jobs, retiring, all kinds of things like that, right?
Or we have a lot of mutual connections, then there's a good chance.
Now, do you look for an introduction then from somebody that knows them?
No. I just go right for the, our team specializes in complementary financial planning. We're experts in the rollover space for retirement plans. If you want to go over your options, I'd be happy to talk to you.
And how do you do with that?
Meaning what?
Percentage wins or?
I've gotten some very nice sized clients out of that have kind of matured over the years as well. But the percentage, to be honest, is low because you're, sending out 25 emails or messages a day in hopes that one or two may respond. So it's not like a warm introduction, but it is a way to get new clients into our group. So it's actually been, especially if I have the niche like the state trooper, they all know each other. So that's an easier way to connect. It's just a nice way to bring new clients into our group.
All right. Let me suggest something. Keep doing what you're doing. But when you get one that you really think is hot and big, then you don't know them, but you know somebody else that knows them, reach out to them for an internet introduction. Either call them or email them, but reach out to them and ask them, would you mind introducing me?
Yeah, I've done that a couple times. And that does work.
That was in Chapter 9.
Right, but it's nice to. I'm glad. I'm excited. It works. It's not going to always work, right? Because this is all possible rejection. But if they do it, it will increase your odds significantly of that person paying attention to that LinkedIn message or that email. So
if you're doing a seminar with 50 people in front of you, you may get a handful that are actually interested in talking to you after. It's kind of the same idea.
Right.
Social media and a free forum.
So Morgan Stanley produces really excellent marketing campaigns with content that we can post on our LinkedIn profile.
It's actually really good. And it's always, and I post every morning so that they can see what's going on.
We don't have to write the post ourselves.
You do that every morning.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you remember in the chapter I wrote on the use of LinkedIn, the Quinn Group does that. They're in Maine. They're with a different firm, but every morning she would check and spend time on LinkedIn, and she swore by it. Every single day she was on there.
Yeah.
And the same kind of thing. She's looking for changes, movement, and looking for introductions if she can get them. They were big in women's groups, too, big in mastermind groups for women. They join them or they form them or two they formed. These two, it was an all-women's team. And they, it seems to work really well for some reason. For women, because they tend to like to talk to other women.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would just I'll throw that out there as just a reminder, because if you like LinkedIn and you like the connection thing, maybe the mastermind group would make sense in your community. How about social networking through organizations, arts organizations, charities, and boards? Who's active in that, or who's having luck with that, or who isn't?
Well, I've served on a school board here in Lancaster County for, I'm in my 17th year now, I believe. And
wow.
I mean, over the years, I've picked up accounts, but I haven't actively prospected. It's just, you know, they've worked with me for a long time and feel that I'm at least somewhat competent. And, you know, we end up doing business, but it's probably something that I could be more aggressive with.
Have you
particularly about getting to know the people that they know.
Have you been the head of the school board?
For 12 years now.
12 years, wow. Congratulations, you're doing it right.
It's all about the pay, Rob.
Well, it's good work. Congratulations. Just a couple of ideas on that. One of them is, you know, just what you do. I'm sure you do this all the time. But when you get time, you know, just separate the herd. You know who the decision makers are, who are people that have money, and just ask them to do something outside of the board.
Right.
Which you probably already do that. But if you haven't, you know, take them to lunch. Just make it a mission. I want to take everybody on the school board to lunch. Just get to know them a little better. And that by itself will probably generate more introductions than not. You know, and then whatever, you know, things you have in common, golf, tennis, whatever it happens to be, utilize that to, you know, so many times we do all this, but we don't actually make friends. We're associates, you know, we're on the board together, but we're not friends. And sometimes you don't want to be friends with certain people because they always kind of go against what you're thinking. But those organizations, it's important to have networks and kind of alignments, because some people are going to be voting for, you know, increase in spending, and some people are going to always looking for for cuts. So whatever your particular mantra is, it's good to build your network or your alignments. And I'm not telling you anything you probably haven't done, but if you're looking to increase your opportunities, it's just, you know, make sure you're networking outside of the board.
Right.
So how about other people? Charity boards, other things that you're involved in?
I mean, what's it called? I do a lot with the Catholic schools in the area. So, like I said, I've tried to corner the Catholic market in Lancaster. So.
All of them.
Well, that's good. A lot of money, a lot of opportunity. It's great. Anybody else?
I think our team did a lot of sponsorships for client foundation events and things like that. So those are always good opportunities for networking. So I feel like we do a great job there in sponsoring meaningful foundations to our clients.
We should probably work that a little more, Rob. We sponsored this. One of our clients opened up a foundation for cats. Believe it or not, it's crazy, but we supported, what did they call that last year? Catapalooza or something? Or, you didn't know that?
I think it was Catapalooza.
I think it was Catapalooza. But anyway, it's a nice size foundation we have with them. This is not insignificant. Over $10 million. But
wow. What do they do with it?
What's
Where
that?
Does the money go? Does it go to a shelter?
They built a rescue.
They built a, from scratch, built a rescue for cats in the Lancaster County area. It is
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we probably should work that niche because we'll be asked again to support this Catapalooza. To be honest with you, I didn't go to it. I thought it was a joke. but it was for real. And they bring bands in. And they're going to do it again this summer. So, but that's probably not a bad idea.
We should all be doing more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of people networked in that. They're all high net worth people that started this. And I probably can network that a little better than what I did. I didn't do anything this year.
I think I got to get out my recliner at night.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you guys went independent tomorrow and said, Rob, we want to hire you as your PR rep, okay? We want you to teach us how to market ourselves because we don't have the brand anymore. We just have ourselves. What should we do? Okay?
Okay.
I would first start by asking you, what is your budget?
Are you asking me now?
Well, you know, a lot of people grow up in the business and they say, look, that's why I pay the firm, right? But in reality, everybody kind of gets the same thing from the firm and you're trying to differentiate yourself. So how are you going to market yourself differently unless you make a conscious effort to do it? So my question is, what's your budget?
Well, what we do, Rob, is what we did last year is we put aside, what was it, 1.5%, which we call our AFG here, to support, like, events like that, sponsorships, you know, extra client meetings, support staff, whatever, just as extras. So we do we put aside 1.5%. Plus, we get probably 5, 10, about, I'm going to say 14, 15,000 from the company as well. So
what is that budget then? The 1.5 plus 15?
Well, 1.5% of what?
2.5 million.
2.8 million.
Yeah.
So that's what, 52,000 plus the, it's probably about 70,000.
About 70,000, Rob.
Okay, and the question I'm asking now is,
to the CSA.
Yeah.
Is it what you know, is it getting the results that you want it to?
I don't know. We probably have to reevaluate that. Probably we're getting some good results, but not all good results. We haven't, you know.
Right.
Like we've done
some of that is client appreciation events as well. It's not necessarily marketing, but we could do a better job of bringing a friend type events and things like that.
Right. Yeah. Like we've done some things just at the local baseball game. You know, club clients come in, or like in the movie we did the Star Wars. We had the premiere of Star Wars here. We rented out 2 theaters for clients as a client appreciation.
That's a great idea.
That was well
okay,
received.
So, yeah, good job. I like your budget, and I think you do it. That's great. I want you to create a – you can make it a 12-month or a 24-month calendar of marketing events and where the money is going to go.
Okay.
And if you do it ahead of time – You know, this is very powerful. If you got if the population knows that you have some money and you're organized about it, you'll get a lot more bang for your buck.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay. So
yeah, we've never done
plan
that
it ahead. Yeah, and get everybody involved on your team. You know, one person going to the event is fine, but what if everybody went? You know, so everybody is involved. Everybody is engaged, everybody participates. You don't have to go to every single thing, but instead of, you know, they used to give $300,000 away in Chicago to the arts, and there wasn't one manager that wanted to go and hand out the checks.
Wow.
And I went and handed out all the checks. Okay? That's how crazy it was.
Wow.
And that's, you know, never give anonymously. You always want to be giving with your brand so that people know that you're not just taking from the community, but you're giving back. So you want, my dad always said, always have a newspaper man in your pocket.
Right.
So, you know, articles today that get written about you and your team because of your charity work are worth gold to you. Why? Because anytime you Google your name, what comes up?
Yeah, that information.
That's right. And it's not, you know, nothing or, you know, LinkedIn or a website. It's a nice article about you and the community and what your team is doing to make it a better place. So get good publicity whenever you can. Free publicity beats the heck out of running ads. Every time you get an article, it's equivalent to about a $15,000 or more. Could be a $50,000 ad. Okay? But let's just say $15,000 for this sake. So you take the $70,000 and you quadruple it, quintuple it by getting your brand out there, your name in the paper, and, you know, they write a nice piece about you and your team and what you're doing in the community. So I am kind of a PR guy. At the same time, I'm, you know, helping you because that's marketing, right?
Yeah.
Branding,
yeah.
Marketing, right? So this is a great idea. I'd like to hear more about other organizations. Okay? It sounds like you're doing it. Maybe there's, you know, a little more participation with some other boards. Arts and charities would be, you know, if everybody in the team that was an FA had two boards that they were on in a town like yours, it would mean all the difference. And just think about it. If your kids are raised and your spouse is on two boards, now you're really leveraging the whole team.
Yeah,
now
idea.
You're kind of owning the community. So I put that into your plan because you guys, I think you have time, you know, maybe it's one board, but at least one board everybody should be on.
I agree, Rob.
We're going to a finance committee meeting tonight, so.
Huh?
He's looking at me strange, and I said I'm going to a finance committee meeting tonight, so.
I've been thinking like the last few years that, you know, that the branding, the team branding thing, you know, is it more beneficial to do something like that where everybody scatters, or is it more beneficial to own a cause and have an event that ties in with your clients every year to support, you know, a cause here locally?
I would say both. I had a professor, and he used to say it's the genius of the and, not the tyranny of the or.
All right. I'm going to think about that one.
So you have one big team event that you all get behind, and then you have your own boards that you also all get behind. So when there's a ball or a dance or something, everybody goes. You know, everybody does a table. Everybody does this. So you're all helping each other, but you just spread yourselves amazingly wide in terms of the community. So, for example, when I was in Indianapolis, I was on the board of the opera, but my wife ran the opera ball, right? She wasn't on the board, but she did the work. And so we worked together as a team, and that was something that we did for years. And she didn't always run it, but you only have to run it once, and everybody knows you. And you do a good job and raise a lot of money, they think you're great. So that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to establish yourself as a leader. That's why you want to be the president of the organization or the chairman of the organization. So you establish yourself as not just a doer, but a leader. And so you want to always do a good job. And I said in Supernova Multiplier when writing about this, I said, it will probably take you 7 years to develop, you know, 2 years on a committee, 2 years to become, maybe 3 years to become president, and then, you know, you're there for 2 years, right? So there's, now that's 7 years, but you're always the past president. Even when you go off the board, you're always a past president of the organization, which comes with perks and admiration from everybody. So that's the game. It isn't just to get on boards. It's to be president. And you don't want to do it, don't do it. But people say to me, I've been on this board for 7 years. And I've never gotten an introduction. I said, what have you done? I said, well, I just go to the meetings and then go home. I said, well, that's exactly why.
Right.
You can't just, this is, they smell you as a fake. And, you know, you can't be, you got to be real. You got to be doing it for all the right reasons. And you got to be doing a good job, because they'll hire you if they see you doing a good job there. They'll hire you to manage your money.
Right.
So anyway, we're over time, but I think this was good. Congratulations. Don't overcommit, but I love the idea of you guys sitting down and making a real business plan of where the 70 grand is going, so it doesn't just go away. Okay.
Good.
Excellent.
All right.
Thanks.
So I guess we'll talk to you in 4 weeks.
Talk to you in 4 weeks. Excellent.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.